Welcome to the Lady Mary's Walk audio trail, which starts from Sawbench Car Park in Gwydir Forest Park. Track 1. A Landowning Teenage Lady. Listen on leaving Sawbench Car Park.
I have walked this path many times since my father died. I can think and dream here. I love the chapel. My father, Sir Richard Wynne, the 4th Baronet, built it in 1673, the year before he died. It's there I feel closest to him. Oh, but forgive me, where are my manners? My name is Lady Mary Wynne. I'm 16 years old. Soon I must leave this beautiful valley. Walk with me, and I shall tell you more of my family. My beloved father, Sir Richard, was a wonderful man, a man of such strong beliefs. Indeed, he suffered prison to ensure our noble king, Charles II, reclaimed his rightful throne. And what a devoted husband he was to my dear troubled mother. I can only hope my own marriage will be as loving. My mother died but 2 years before him. I wonder still, did he die of a broken heart? Now I am almost all that is left of our family. I try not to be lonely, for am I not the daughter of the great Sir Richard Wynne? I have the deer park, the hop fields and the vineyards. I have nigh on 80,000 acres. Can you imagine it? Me, little Lady Mary, the largest landowner in North Wales. And yet, I shall be the last of the Wynnes of Gwydir, for very soon I am to be packed off to my new husband, Robert Bertie. Oh, I know at 16 it's high time I married, but I shall miss the forest, our beautiful summer house on the hill, and the echoes here of my dear family. And what a family we are. This land would still be thick with outlaws were it not for my ancestor Meredith. And everyone knows the reputation of my great-grandfather, Sir John Wynne. He entertained many of the finest folk as they passed through here. When I was a little girl, my mother told me such tales of the flat-bottomed boats coming up the Conwy, bringing cargoes of spices, fine wines, exotic fruits, and even tobacco from foreign shores to Sir John's door at Gwydir Castle. Let's walk a little more.
Track 2. A Noble Outlaw Relation. Listen at the turn-off to the viewpoint bench.
You're not one of Herbert Swagbelly's louts, are you?
Did you hear that? I wonder, was it the ghost of one of the outlaws? Perhaps David himself? David Ap Shenkin. Who doesn't know that name? Nobleman and outlaw. 200 years ago, his stronghold was deep in this forest. He and his gang hid from their enemies in a cave higher up this hill, Carreg y Gwalch. They were truly outside of the law. They resented English rule. Locals say that after each sortie, he and his men would disappear into the forest dressed in green, and they'd pretend to be fairies to scare off unsuspecting passers-by and English soldiers. David was a famous archer, as skilled as that fabled English outlaw Robin Hood. It is said that he once came across a group of soldiers gathered in a circle looking forward to dinner from the pot. As they reached for their wooden spoons, he strung his bow and, taking sure aim, sent an arrow right into the pot, splashing and burning the faces of the diners who scattered howling in all directions. Many in Llanrwst and throughout Wales consider David a true hero. In his history of the family, My great-grandfather, Sir John, writes that David was a distant kinsman of ours. And once he fought alongside my ancestor Ieuan ap Robert during the long wars between the houses of Lancaster and York. When Edward seized the throne, Conwy was on the side of the usurped King Henry. My ancestor Ieuan joined a Lancastrian force along with David, and they torched the Yorkist town of Denbigh. King Edward was so mightily incensed, he told his man, Sir William Herbert of Raglan, to lay waste to the whole of Conwy. The Lancastrians were scattered before his army. My ancestors were forced to flee, and down the valley in front of you, every tree, every bush, and every house was burnt to the ground by Sir William and his army. They say the smoke and flames could be seen from as far away as Chester. The name of Black William still makes many in the valley shiver with terror. They say there's still treasure undiscovered within the dark vaults of David ap Shenkin's cave, somewhere on Carreg y Gwalch. Yours for the asking, if you're brave enough to take on the ghosts of David and his bowmen.
Track 3. From Banded Country to a Family Estate. Listen where a narrow path diagonally leaves the forest road.
It is perhaps hard to believe, but my family has not always lived in this valley. We came here scarcely 200 years ago, but we certainly changed the place when we did come, for the better, I think. My ancestor Meredith, son of Ieuan, was the first. He already had great estates in Eifionydd, but he didn't care for his bloodthirsty family's habits of settling disputes by killing one another. So when he saw an opportunity to acquire lands and settle elsewhere, Meredith seized it. In those times, the Conwy Valley was a very different place. This whole land was in the hands of bandits. For 20 miles in any direction, no one was safe from those cutthroat bandits.
Watch out!
That was close. The cutthroats didn't worry my brave ancestor Meredith. He said he'd prefer to fight outlaws and thieves than his own blood and kin. For him, this was his big chance. The valley was neglected and empty of farmers. The plague had killed many and the rest of the law-abiding folk had fled from the bandits. So there was land for the taking. If you were determined enough and bold enough to try. It was a risky undertaking. Meredith lived in constant fear of ambush. Even when he went to church, he would leave his home bolted and guarded and would post lookouts on the high ground. If anyone attacked the house, the guards would raise the alarm and muster the congregation. And at prayer, Meredith would be kneeling in full armour with his sword at the ready. He and his family travelled under the protection of a personal bodyguard of 20 stout archers. At first, he lived with his wives, mistresses, and his 20 children at Dolwyth Elan. But around 1500, when his growing family needed more room, he moved his entire household to Gwydir Castle, which is our family home still. In time, Meredith tamed this wild and lawless land. To many, he was a hero, especially to my great-grandfather, Sir John Wynne, for it was Meredith who made our estates and built Gwydir Castle. Of course, all this happened long, long ago, but it was laid down in my great-grandfather's book of our family history, a required reading in my family. And it was Sir John himself who made the name of Wynne resound throughout this valley and beyond. I'll tell you some more of him soon.
Track 4. A historic forest bowling green. Listen at the bowling green.
I wish this walk were named after me. But some say it's in tribute to my great aunt, Lady Mary Mostyn. Who's to know? I like to think of all the winds of Gwydir passing through time on this forest walk. Here it's so easy to slip back into the past. Back to my great-grandfather's days.
Ah, my Lord Leicester. A fine bowl, sir. You will steal the game away from me for sure.
John, you flatter me. The day is yet to come when I beat you on your home ground.
Perhaps. I believe you're holding the point. But...
ah.
I may yet take back the advantage.
Nicely played, John.
A lucky shot, my lord.
Lucky or not, the game is yours.
Yes, so it seems.
And in fair exchange, perhaps a little more of that delicious wine?
Of course. May I suggest some sweetmeats, too? They are newly arrived from Naples.
Ah, yes. Exquisite. What other delights have you?
Just this morning, a fine cargo of walnuts, salad oil, and all manner of spices. Perhaps, my lord, you would like to take some back to London with you.
A small hamper will do well.
I shall have a selection prepared for you, to enjoy with your friends at court.
Excellent, my friend. Now, do we have time for another game?
My great-grandfather loved bowls. He had this beautiful green laid down himself. It was 50 years ago he died, in 1627. But I still see him in my mind's eye when I walk up here. In truth, I've been lonely since my dear parents passed away. My only solace is amongst these trees, and in my imaginings. When my great-grandfather was alive, the whole forest was full of people, especially here at the Bowling Green. I've heard tell of the banquets. Sir John once moved in such glittering circles. Anyone who was anyone passed through here on their way to Ireland or even the Americas. Many of them stayed at our magnificent summer house, Gwydir Uchaf. Take one last look at the view. If you're very quiet and still, you too might hear the sound of a distant game of bowls and smell the scents of a summer afternoon drifting across the years.
Track 5. A noble but controversial ancestor. Listen before getting back to Sawbench Car Park at the glimpsed view of the Gwydir Uchaf summer house.
Do you believe in ghosts? They say Sir John Wynne's ghost still inhabits these parts. Could that have been him on his way home to the castle? It would not surprise me. He was an imposing man, some say overbearing. Tall and broad-shouldered, he always dressed exquisitely. He wore the finest Spanish leather shoes, velvet coats lined with taffeta, red quilted waistcoats and pearl-coloured silk stockings. Once you met him, you were not likely to forget Sir John Wynne. Some called him a tyrant. They say his soul is cursed, that it lies at the bottom of the waterfall in Betters Accord. I believe they confuse firmness for tyranny. A heartless man would not have helped set up the grammar school and the town almshouses as he did. Is it not true that a willful man will always have enemies? He did tend to get on the wrong side of his peers. When he asked Bishop Morgan to confirm the lease of Llanrwst Rectory, the bishop refused and wrote back, "You, a sacrilegious robber of my church, a perfidious spoiler of my diocese, an unnatural hinderer of preachers and good scholars." How Sir John's blood must have boiled when he read that letter. Sir John's family was one of the first true gentrified Welsh families. He built our beautiful summer house here at Gwydir Uchaf in 1604 to house his powerful guests in style. It was the grandest house in Gwynedd, with its many fancy turrets. Although our lands provided a good income, Sir John always owed money. By the time he died in 1627, he was £25,000 in debt. Even now, that is a huge fortune. Much of it he spent in court defending our family name. He was most successful in public office. When new laws allowed Welsh landowners to join Parliament, he quickly became an MP. He was knighted in 1606. How proud he must have been. And then in 1611, he had the great honour of being made a baronet, one of the senior knights in Wales. My great-grandfather, in truth, was unstoppable. He lived by his motto, profit and pleasure. The death of his eldest son, Sir John, in 1614, hit him hard. He was busy at work on his tome, the history of the Gwydir family, right up until that point, and then he just stopped writing. The book remained unfinished. After, he spent most of his time here at Gwydir, but to the last he continued to build the grand name of Wynn. Now, I do believe I have told you all you could possibly want to know of my family. Would you give me leave to go and sit a while in peace? Farewell.